As we've been reporting this morning, the demolition of Glasgow's Red Road flats didn't entirely go to plan yesterday afternoon, with two of the six blocks still partially upright and some residents unable to return to nearby homes. Thousands of neighbouring residents excluded from the area were allowed back into their properties last night. So what went wrong? Mark Anthony is the editor of demolitionnews.com and author of My Dad Does Demolition. He's been following this story for the past 5 years and he was at the demolition yesterday. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So give us a background to the story, because you've been following it for a long time, the plans to bring these big towers down.
I have indeed. Yeah, you may not realise this, but Scotland is actually a world leader in demolition, and the company behind yesterday's blast, Safedem, is actually a former demolition contractor of the year. And a World Explosive Demolition Company of the Year as well. So they really are a Premier League company.
OK, so what seemed to happen then from what you could see? Because it didn't go according to plan, did it?
I know the media will be keen to portray it like that, but in actual fact, the Glasgow Housing Association put out a media bulletin before the blast to say that they were expecting 10 stories to remain standing. Now, OK, they were probably expecting that to be in a pile rather than upright as they are, but in actual fact, the outcome is very much the same. And the process from here on in will be the same as well. When you've blasted a building, you then have to process what is on the ground. So that means bringing in heavy equipment to break it down into its constituent parts for onward recycling. So I guess from a public perception, they were expecting just big piles of rubble. But in actual fact, the outcome is pretty much as anticipated.
And presumably every demolition starts with an assessment of the materials and the size and everything. And then is that how they calculate how much explosive they need to use and where to put it as well, how to effectively bring these buildings down?
At the heart of it, yeah, that is right. Although I think it's fair to say that particularly explosive demolition is somewhat of a compromise. In an ideal world, perhaps we'd have a 5-mile exclusion zone, and you know, we could throw a couple of Patriot missiles at a tower block, and that would be fine. But you know, the world isn't like that. So you've got houses on all four sides at Red Road. So you've got to scale back. In an ideal world, really, what you're doing with a blast of this nature is you're weakening the structure as best you can with the explosives, and then you let gravity take over. As you saw from yesterday, gravity took over very, very well on four of those towers and probably didn't come quite to the party on the other two. But as I say, the outcome will be very much the same.
And why do you think that was? Why do you think that just these two parts remained so upright? I mean, they're almost straight, aren't they? They're just slightly squint what's been left.
They are. I mean, obviously there will be investigations over the next few days. One of the problems that demolition contractors face, but it will be less so in the future, but one of the problems they face now is the fact that they are dealing with unknowns. A lot of the time that when you're taking down a building either by explosive or mechanical means, you haven't got a great deal of information on how those structures were built. So all it would take with, as I say, if you're relying on gravity, all it would take is an exceptionally strong part of that building to hold it together, and it will hold it together. You know, we've seen these around the world where, you know, literally the entire building has stayed upright, and it's made no difference at all.
And of course, there'd been plans for this to happen during the opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games. So what do you think would have been made of it if that had actually ended up being the case?
Again, I live and breathe demolition, as do the guys that were involved in the job yesterday. And to be honest, I would have seen it different to Joe Public. I think Joe Public would have said, oh, that's a bit disappointing. But in actual fact, you know, the important thing is to get the things on the ground and to get the heavy equipment in there so that the recycling can begin. And that's exactly what Safedem have achieved.
And you, as you say, are fascinated by demolitions. And so it seems are many of us. I mean, thousands of people watched this. Thousands of people will have viewed it afterwards as well, the footage. Why do you think we like watching these things happen? Considering these have been people's homes, you know, there's lots of emotional attachment as well.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think people that have grown up, I actually watched it from quite a distance away yesterday. And, you know, there was a huge crowd there. And a lot of people there were just fascinated by the process, but also by the fact that their skyline had changed. You know, the landscape that they looked at over many years and often decades had just changed in an instant. So I think there's part of that. I think there's quite a manly thing, you know, we all like an explosion or two. I don't know what it is. It captured my imagination sort of 20 plus years ago, and I still get a buzz out of these things. You know,
women do too, Mark.
Well, absolutely. In actual fact, where I was yesterday, I think the ladies outnumbered the men, so yeah, I think you're right.
Thank you for joining us this morning. That was Mark Anthony there.